Rushdoony Radio presents Systematic Theology in Two Volumes by Russus John Rushdoony, narrated by Nathan F. Conkey, produced with permission by the Chalcedon Foundation. 5. The Doctrine of Christ. Chapter 1. The Seed of the Woman. One of the problems of our time is the studied irrelevancy of the modern church. On the one hand, we have the modernists, to whom the only considerations are those born of man and society. Hence, their gospel is only a social gospel, relative only to society, seeking to cure man's ills by means of purely human resources. On the other hand, pietism seeks to separate itself from history and to live as though only eternity is real. This is an abstraction from history which is closer to Neoplatonism than Scripture. Traditional orthodoxy is concerned with eternity and time, provided it is past time or history, ancient problems rather than present ones. It will discuss ancient theological heresies as though time froze some generations ago. One is reminded of an incident in the life of W.M. Whitehall as he reported it to Merriman. Quote, "A friend of mine in Bilbao, Spain, once went with Don Miguel del Muño, the director of the university there, on a walking tour in Navarre. They got to the foot of a mountain on which the sanctuary of San Miguel of Excelsis is located, and they wanted to go up there for the night. People in the village down below said, quote, 'Oh, it's getting late, you better not try to go up. Ever since the robbery, the monks have been very careful about locking up,' end quote. Nevertheless, the two men went up, and the monastery door was indeed barricaded. They banged and banged, and finally the monks, recognising the director, let them in. The monks excused themselves, saying, quote, 'Ever since the robbery, we've had to be so careful,' end quote. There was more talk about the robbery, and my friend asked the monks, quote, 'When was the robbery?' end quote. And they replied, quote, 1484, end quote, end quote. All too often, traditional orthodoxy barricades itself against the thieves of 1484, but is blind to the threats of today. When men like Cornelius Van Til call attention to the current threats, they are viewed with suspicion. This is not to say that the issues of earlier centuries are irrelevant. In my study of the foundations of social order, I deal with the relevancy of the creeds and councils to the issues of our time. Relevancy is both seeing the link between ancient heresies and modern threats, and providing the answers to current problems out of the law word of God. Our purpose here is to discuss the work of God the Son and God the Spirit in time in relation to man in history. The works of creation and providence are basic to the economical Trinity. Here our concern begins with Genesis 3:15, God's curse upon the serpent, quote, 'And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel,' end quote. Scripture never speaks to satisfy our curiosity, nor our pride. Thus, we are given the identity of the serpent with Satan, not with the particulars nor the manner of their identity. Quote, 'Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it,' end quote. John 8:44. Quote, 'He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil,' end quote. 1 John 3:8. Quote, 'And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him,' end quote. Revelation 12:9. In these verses, first, our Lord identifies Satan as the original liar and the murderer of man, he who brought sin and death into the world, John 8:44. Second, John declares that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, sin and death, that is, to bring about the sway of righteousness or justice and life over man and the earth, 1 John 3:8. Third, all who commit sin are of the devil, 1 John 3:8. Conversely, the truly righteous are of the Lord. Fourth, in some sense, not our concern for the present, Satan is cast out or dispossessed, Revelation 12:9, because of the coming of the woman's child, Revelation 12:1-8. The coming of our Lord is thus the invasion of this world by the triune God and his hosts in order to restore the world to the condition intended by God, having created the heavens and the earth, quote, very good, unquote, Genesis 1:31. God invades history to re-establish man and the earth in terms of his eternal purpose. This, then, is the purpose set forth in Genesis 3:15, called the Proto-Evangelium. It declares that history will see both battle and restoration, total warfare and total victory. The head of the enemy shall be crushed. A curious fact is set forth in this promise. In the fall, the entire humanity of Adam is involved, Adam and Eve, and all their descendants. Satan's triumph thus appears total. We are repeatedly reminded that, quote, by one man's offence, death reigned by one, and sin reigned unto death, end quote, Romans 5:17. All were made sinners by one man's disobedience, Romans 5:19-21. In spite of this fact, the humanity of Adam sees warfare, total war. Life and death are at stake in that struggle. Moreover, the humanity of Adam continues only through the seed of the woman, so that the fallen world of Satan's plan appears in every birth. Cain is the immediate and dramatic example of this fact, Genesis 4:1-26. At the same time, God introduces a division, quote, between thy seed and her seed, end quote, Genesis 3:15. Here the, quote, seed, end quote, clearly refers to posterity. In the fallen world of Adam, some will miraculously be the children of life, that is, daughters of Eve, quote, the mother of all living, end quote, Genesis 3:20. In a different sense, all born of Eve are born into sin and death, so that the, quote, life, end quote, Eve gives us is a tainted one. In spite of this, some of her seed will, by God's miraculous grace and power, become the children of life. In fact, Jeremiah is told that he was ordained a prophet and sanctified thereto while still in his mother's womb, Jeremiah 1:5. Thus, even as in Eden, Satan perverted God's humanity, so God, after Eden, converts some of the fallen humanity to his purpose. Then, however, from referring to posterity, seed becomes singular. Quote, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel, end quote. Genesis 3:15. The warfare narrows down to a final conflict between two, quote, thou, end quote, Satan, or the serpent, and the great, quote, seed of the woman, end quote, Jesus Christ. Candlish saw a probable reference to Genesis 3:15 in Micah 5:2-3, quote, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up, until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. End quote. Also, Paul's statement in Galatians 3:16 would also apply here with regard to the second half of Genesis 3:15. Quote, "He saith not seeds, as if there were many, but one seed, which is Christ." End quote. The one person who shall crush Satan's head is Jesus Christ. He shall be the great seed of the woman. Into Adam's fallen humanity, born into sin and death, God comes to call out his own, some, like Jeremiah, from their mother's womb, and then supremely in Jesus Christ. Natural birth into Adam's race produces a life governed by sin and death. The triune God at once works supernaturally to rescue some from that fallen humanity by means of a miraculous regeneration. In Genesis 3:15, we have given the division between that city or kingdom of man versus the city or kingdom of God, which Augustine described later. Even more, God, who created all things, quote, "very good," end quote, Genesis 1:31, ordained that, out of that very fallen humanity, perverted into sin and death by Satan, he would bring forth a second Adam, Jesus Christ, as the head of a new humanity, one re-established in righteousness or justice, holiness, knowledge, and dominion, Genesis 1:26-28, Colossians 3:10, Ephesians 4:24, with the law of God written in their hearts. Whereas all men originally had the law written in their hearts, Romans 2:14-15, but suppressed that knowledge of the law in unrighteousness, Romans 1:18, it will, with the new covenant in Christ, be a perpetual part of their new nature, Jeremiah 31:31-34. Thus, Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary in continuity with Genesis 1 and the original creation of man, and in continuity with Eve, quote, "the mother of all living," end quote, Genesis 3:20. All the redeemed of the Old Testament era were forerunners and types of what God would do in Jesus Christ. In that very regenerate man in that era was a miracle of grace, both in physical continuity with Eve and in supernatural discontinuity by grace. Similarly, every regenerate man since Jesus Christ is an antitype of him who is the great archetype. Genesis 3:15 thus has central reference to Jesus Christ, but all who are born again in him are clearly in mind in this text. Paul reminds us of this in Romans 16:20, quote, "The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly," end quote. The unique work of atonement and justification belongs to Jesus Christ. The miracle of regeneration is the work of the triune God in our lives. This is the great bruising or crushing of Satan's head. His power is broken. A new humanity has come to possess the earth, Matthew 5:5, 28:18-20. Christ, therefore, sends out his new humanity to make all men and nations his kingdom and to trample underfoot the shattered head of Satan everywhere. In that commission, conflict is an assured fact, Romans 8:35-39, but also victory. Quote, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith," end quote, 1 John 5:4. Hello, this is Nathan, the narrator. Find my past and present projects and more at nathanteacher.com.